We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states, and the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game betting odds on every major sport, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning.
Aaron Rodgers looking for Devontae Adams. He's got it! DJ Moore has a pass to the end zone. Jonathan Taylor, touchdown!
Hello everyone, welcome back to Road of His Overtime on Road of His Radio, brought to you by Blue Wire. My name is Colin Kelly, you can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland, and I'm joined as always by my co-host, it is Sean Siegel. Sean, we're into the 300s now in terms of the podcast episodes after last week's edition. On Thursday last week, we went over episode 300, but it was a real fun week of NFL action in week six. I'm kind of battling here, I'm getting a bit too old for nights out with friends, but battling through a little bit of a sore throat here, but hopefully we get through it for today's show. But Sean, week six, we had a lot of fun, a lot of our players having big games. We'll be talking about some of them today, but I think we probably started off with somebody who's not on a lot of our rosters and continues to have big days. I have to give a shout out to Derrick Henry, who I don't know how long this is going to continue for. So 6 weeks through the season, 783 yards, 16 receptions, which is boosting that quite nicely, and followed with just the 10 touchdowns. I believe that's his second game now with three touchdowns. So if he was a soccer player, we'd call saying he had a hat trick, but pretty incredible stuff here from Derrick Henry so far.
It has been. And the ability to continue to break off these long runs. I mean, Derrick Henry is basically Jonathan Taylor with a lot more opportunity. Right. So we're seeing these big plays from him. Obviously, in the game last night, we have the 83-yard touchdown run, and he puts up the fastest time of the season for any ball carrier. So that's with the ball in their hands. Now, when you break off a long run, you have a better opportunity there. You get a long streak to get up to speed and hit that top level. But that's exactly what we like to see, is someone who can't be caught from behind. And Derrick Henry, for all of his size, when he gets going, I mean, you cannot catch him from behind. He just pulled away from the Buffalo Bills defensive backs there and turned that into sort of a silly play. It was very Chris Johnson-esque. We've talked a lot about how Derrick Henry really is a small back in a big back's body. And while there are some times that he gets tackled at the line of scrimmage where other big backs might not, this is mostly just a pure compliment, right? Because if you can have that little back ability to make some guys miss early, and then you have a long speed, but you have the long speed where, you know, if you do have to hit somebody in the secondary, you can do that and keep going. I mean, it's just, he's an absolute terror, right? And so one of the things I've been thinking about a little bit with Henry, because I think this is an important thing to do, right? We want to look at whether or not we were wrong on the direction or whether or not we were unlucky. And I think that there's kind of a fine line between being right and being wrong on Henry for people who are not drafting him. Now, people who were drafting him are right, and they're right in a way that matters because he's in their lineup, he's scoring points, he's leading them to fantasy wins. And so that's the true case of being right about him. If you were off, and you were off because his opportunity profile didn't provide the upside to have him really be realistically drafted in that range and have it be a good pick, then I think there are still some things where you're kind of right about that. Okay, because one of the things that Henry is doing is he's having an historic season. If you have someone who doesn't kind of fit the profile that you need, and then they go do something that hasn't been done before, that's not something you can necessarily hold against yourself as a fantasy manager. At the same time, one of the things that we talk a lot about on this show, we talk a lot about on Stealing Bananas, is that it's very easy to be overconfident in how we think players are going to perform. And it's very easy to get overly locked into what we think someone's role is. And I think there's kind of the combination of those two things happening here, to where not enough credit was assigned purely to this element where Derrick Henry is a star. And I think for me, I've been a little bit slow coming around to this. We talked on the show about one of the best things that you can have as a fantasy manager is the ability to come off of your wrong takes or beliefs that you had, predictions that you had that were incorrect, and the evidence was there to show that they were incorrect. Get off of that, pick up someone like Kadarius Toney. Now that, you know, didn't work out this week because he leaves the game early. But getting off of the idea that there were some huge flaws in his profile when he very quickly shows that he's going to be a target hog right off the bat, the first time that he gets an opportunity, you want to chase that. And then if you end up being wrong again a second time, at least the price on that isn't something that's debilitating to you. But you've got to move, right, if you're wrong. You can't just sit back and continue to be wrong. That's not going to serve you well at all. You're going to lose as a result. And one of the things that we saw with Henry was this very slow build into his NFL career where, I mean, several seasons in, he looked like a bust, right? And people were saying, oh, you could have had, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, they could have had a star defender to help that lousy defense plus Derrick Henry, as opposed to having Ezekiel Elliott and then whomever you take in the second round. That looked a little questionable because Elliott was so good and Henry was so mediocre. And so sometimes these things play out in a little bit slower fashion. Now, that's not usually the case with stars, right? We're seeing guys break out very quickly. We're even seeing that at the wide receiver position. This was a big week for Jalen Waddle. Jamar Chase, again, gets behind the defense. He is tackled from behind on the play this week. Doesn't get the long touchdown that he has been getting. We're seeing these breakouts very, very early. The impact players tend to be impact players. But just because that's the case doesn't mean that you can stick to your evaluation of him as a college player, your evaluation of him through 2 years, your evaluation of him as someone who is mostly a volume-based back as we continue to gain evidence that he's a star. And then I think at the end of last season, there's a little bit of the case where his schedule is so soft that you're like, well, I mean, anybody who is going to be able to get that many opportunities against that week of opponents, and we even saw with David Montgomery, that he blows up against weak teams. And so you're thinking, okay, well, again, there are some extenuating circumstances here. And even we talked on the show about through the first month of the season, Derrick Henry's schedule, again, very, very soft. And so you're thinking, okay, well, he's going to go against the Bills. The Bills have a very good defense. This is the first bad matchup that he has faced. The Bills, I mean, the Titans do get A.J. Brown back. They do get Julio Jones back. Both of those guys made a couple of plays in this game, and a couple of plays was really all it took in the end to be the plays that were just enough to make that difference. So there was more than just Henry that they had to face, unlike a couple of teams in the previous weeks where it really was just Henry. But you're thinking, okay, Buffalo is going to take him away. And again, we saw plenty of stuffs. But what we saw also was the Titans creating some massive holes and Henry running through them. Henry now has beaten an elite defense and beaten them in such a massive fashion that not only put up an avalanche of fantasy points, but he won the reality game, essentially. Now, I mean, we also have the situation here where the Bills really blew some key plays. You know, Josh Allen slips, doesn't get the key fourth down. And Buffalo still probably should have won this game. If he played this game 10 times, I think Buffalo probably wins 9 of them. But what Henry is doing here, and one of the things that we have touched on, his continued ability to not only stay healthy, right, in the way of being able to go out there and play, but he's not even getting nicked up, right? I mean, he's being able to go out there and take these big workloads. And That's helpful because as soon as these guys start to get the nicks, as soon as you have the, you know, the minor, you know, say someone's out 3 weeks with a knee injury, you know, when they come back, you know, what percentage of 100% are they? Somebody misses a couple of games with the ankle. One of the things as a Saquon Barkley manager right now, it's this huge push and pull that you're experiencing because you're thinking, I've got to get him back. I mean, they've got to play him, or by the time he's back, it'll be too late. At the same time, you're thinking, you know, if they go back early with him, then I'm going to get someone who is the injured version. He's not going to be worth as much in each of those games. And the chance for aggravation is so high. And then I won't have him again when he's out there. So, I mean, there's this huge value for someone who is going through healthy like this. And so I think when we talk so much about focusing on the talent, that it was a mistake and it was being wrong to not be on Henry here. Is that the way that you're sort of looking at this? I know that, you know, we don't expect to be right every time, but we do want to change on some of these people where, you know, and not necessarily change, but change from the perspective of admit that we were wrong as opposed to just say, oh, you know, we're getting unlucky here that he's making all these big runs.
Yeah, no, I would agree. The one thing I would say is if we went back to draft time and we kind of knew how, obviously if we knew what we knew now, he would probably be going at the 101. But if we were doing our process again, there's a good chance that we would end up going maybe in a slightly different direction even again. Like when we get to next season, I think we'll probably have similar thoughts because we'll have more wear and tear on his body, but his body seems to just recover at miraculous rates and everyone else's body breaks down that he bumps into. But like a lot of the stuff that you mentioned, and I think the first 2 years could be part of it, like over those first 2 years, I'm just looking, he had like in his first three seasons, he had 400 yard games in that time, no 1,000 yard seasons in the first two seasons. And then if we look at what he's done since that, like, you know, he's really blowing up, but he has been phenomenal. Like over this first 6 weeks, this is like all-time historic pace, like you mentioned. So if he can maintain this, it's going to be incredible. It has, like, I'm not, you know, how I have Derrick Henry on zero teams. I've traded him away on any teams I had, but it has been fun to watch him this year, even though he's not on our rosters. He's just looked absolutely incredible. And I was actually doing him a disservice when I said he had 2 3 touchdown games this season so far. He actually has 3 on the season. So phenomenal stuff from him. And again, the counterpart of that is a lot of the stuff we were expecting to happen in this offense was around AJ Brown. So a little bit of, you know, feels a little bit tough at this stage, but we're 6 weeks in. We'll see how the rest of the season plays out. But it would be very interesting to go back in time and to make that decision again, because I still think we probably would lean towards the other options. Like a player we would have possibly looked at the running back position taking there is Jonathan Taylor. And while Henry is, you know, outpacing him in pretty much all stats, you mentioned about the workload probably driving that more so for Henry. Like Taylor is pretty much getting half the workload but has half the stats if we look at it that way. But Henry is off to a phenomenal start. So let's hope. I love seeing players, you know, have those kind of historic periods of their career. And I feel like Henry is in that at the moment. And a lot of teams will lean on that player and say, we're going to give him that opportunity. There's not many teams who just solely give their running back the work that Derrick Henry has got over the last, you know, over the last probably 3 seasons, but over the last 6 weeks in particular. So we'll see, because they're obviously a team is likely heading towards the playoffs as well. I mentioned Jonathan Taylor, but before I get to that, I do want to mention, in case we don't get to them on this, the Bills, Stephon Diggs, obviously a big part of the Buffalo Bills offense, big part of our conversations on this show. I did put the clip into last Wednesday's episode about who, you know, maybe we should put in. You said Jonathan Taylor, so Jonathan Taylor made it in after that point on Sean's suggestion. There was uproar, I guess we'll say, that Stephon Diggs hadn't made it in. So Diggs, for anyone listening to the intro on the way into today's show, will have heard that Stephon Diggs is in there as well. Just wanted to clear that up. Thanks to everyone who sent in those suggestions, and thanks for everyone who corrected me, I guess, and the mistake not to have Diggs in there. But before we talk in the second half of the show about tight ends, I do want to touch on Jonathan Taylor as well. Sean, he's somebody we've talked about a lot. A little bit of a slow start to the season, you know, in the first opening weeks, and, you know, questions around the Colts offense and how things were going. They were playing the Houston Texans, but the offense did look better. Wentz looked better. But another nice game for for Taylor, who just looks fantastic. You know, I mentioned about the workload that Henry's getting, usually in that 20 to 26 carries a week for Henry. We're seeing Taylor get, you know, 15, 16 carries a week. He had 14 this past week. And I've kept saying, just give him more work, give him the ball more. 145 yards, 2 touchdowns for him this week. The 83-yard run that he had in this one is the longest play of the season in terms of a rushing play so far. I did see an interesting stat where since the 2018 season, there's 5 players, including him, who have had 2 plays of 76 yards or more over a whole season. So he has done that through 6 weeks. So we're starting to see, obviously, the explosive plays as well. I would be kind of betting on him doing that possibly another time or two before the end of the season, but he just looks fantastic at this moment in time. And again, I know we're kind of, they're always gonna be tied together, him and Edwards-Helaire, but you know what could he be in that Chiefs offense is something that we'll probably ponder for the rest of our days, Sean. But I think if you have Jonathan Taylor on your rosters, you have to be very, very positive. Again, I mentioned the fact that possibly still I would take him over Henry, given the choice. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think that you would have to take him again. Because again, we're working with some different things. One of the things with Henry is that if he were scoring like 22 points a game instead of what he was doing, then it'd be easier to say, oh, you know, we were right, and now he's just kind of at the top end of the range, ignoring the fact that, you know, you make some claims like that and don't think about, well, the top end of the range actually was much, much higher. We still would have been wrong, but it would have been easier to think that we were right. Okay. But with Taylor here, everything is really going in the direction that we talked about in terms that you have the young emerging runner. You have this ability to do a lot with the receptions. Now, the workload has actually been much lower than I expected. And so from that perspective, I mean, Taylor's been fantastic, but I was actually wrong on Taylor. Because part of this here is that you want to combine this really high expected points workload with the ability to outperform that. That's one of the things that we always kind of talk about. You want to get that EP profile into the 20 range. And then when you hit on these seasons, that the top guys, we're not talking about everybody. You know, it's not likely to happen for a Najee Harris, who both has some issues in terms of being able to create the type of big plays that you need in order to have that point above expectation, and is in an offense where, you know, his teammates are not actually going to create those opportunities. You know, the Steelers offensive line has some issues, that kind of thing. And so projecting him out, you know, we have him toward the top end of EP, which is actually how it's worked out, but then also toward the bottom end of FPOE, which is also how it's turning out. I feel like Harris is a guy that more or less nailed exactly. Taylor has not been at the EP level that we were looking for. And as I was watching this game, and you know, you watch the things pop up on the bottom line as you're going through, I tend to watch, you know, 4, 5, 6 games in that early stretch, you know, more or less simultaneously, switching between games, fast forwarding, all that kind of thing. And whatever game the Texans are involved in is usually not one of the ones that I'm doing, because that's not one of the more exciting games there on a Sunday morning. So you watch those things pop up on the bottom line, and you're like, well, is Taylor involved? Is Taylor involved? What are the Colts doing? And then you see the final line pop up and you're like, okay, well, this was a good game. That's what Taylor's supposed to do. You go back through and watch the game, and this one was absolutely bizarre, because I mean, Taylor just was not part of the first half game plan. It was almost like they were saying, let's wear the Texans down and then we'll let Taylor play in the second half. If he breaks some big plays, then great. If not, you know, we'll just focus on the next week. Now, if you believe the Texans are that bad, and you know you're a 1-4 team, and you're that confident that you're going to get the victory, then I guess you can do that. And this is a longer season. Teams that have some superstars are, and you know, Taylor has had the rumors of a little bit of knee swelling, and so it could be something where they really are trying to manage those reps because he's not 100%. But I mean, you think about this being a not 100% Taylor, and it gets you pretty excited again for the long term, given that we've now seen Christian McCaffrey go on IR. I mean, hopefully that just means he's going to need a couple more weeks. That's not any kind of, you know, his career is over, his season's over, or anything like that. But when you look at Taylor's explosive ability, when you look at his youth, we talk about these windows. Now, you know, someone like a Derrick Henry is in many ways already outside of the main dynasty window for a running back. And one of the things that, you know, we also do mention is just because there's a window that exists, That doesn't mean that every single guy is going to fit that. Some of the best fantasy seasons that we've had are players like a Marshall Faulk, a LaDainian Tomlinson, a Priest Holmes, who had those seasons outside of the window. So not only can some guys do it, but some of the biggest seasons ever have come in that range. And so a Christian McCaffrey especially would be someone we would expect has the potential to score in that range. But when you look at where the two guys are, the direction that they're going right now, I think that Jonathan Taylor has to go to number one overall as a dynasty running back.
NFL football is finally back, and there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet to find NFL tickets anymore. Because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site and the only one you'll ever need as your go-to for NFL tickets. TickPick got rid of all those awful service fees that other ticket sites charge, which lets them guarantee the best prices on all of their NFL tickets. Don't believe it? If you can find better prices for the same seats on another ticket site, TickPick will give you 110% of the difference in the purchase price. One of my bucket list items is certainly to head on over and see my Green Bay Packers over in Green Bay at Lambeau Field. I'm super excited to see how this season plays out for the Packers. Whether it's the Packers or any other team that you want to head and get in on the action this season and attend a game, whether it's a home game for your favorite team or it's on the road, TickPick has you covered. Visit tickpick.com/rotoviz today and use the promo code RotoViz to save 10% on your first order. So if you're thinking of going to a game this season, don't wait. Head on over, get those tickets, use the code RotoViz. That is tickpick.com/RotoViz.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Sean, I teased it a few moments ago, but we are going to go into tight ends in just one moment. But I have one question that I think it's going to be another, like, you know, it could be a question that goes on for the rest of this podcast for the next 300 episodes. But the Seahawks, obviously, Chris Carson dealing with an injury. Alex Collins maybe dealing with an injury. There is reports that Penny could be ready to go this week, potentially. Is this the time for Rashad Penny?
It's always Rashad Penny time, right? All we need to do is...
Feels like that's probably the maybe 9th or 10th time we've discussed that on the podcast over the years, but it'd be nice. It'd be nice if this was the time.
It would be nice. By always, we obviously mean never. And so we will be picking up Penny as many leagues as possible. He's going to go out there and either run into the line and fall down, or he's going to immediately pull something. And then we'll be kind of looking at, you know, who's going to catch the most passes between Travis Homer and DJ Dallas. How is this Seattle Seahawks offense, you know, going to move the ball? And, you know, Colin, you just got to keep going to the next guy. Well, one of the things that we talk about from time to time is that the great part of zero RB is that when these backups go in it's often very clear who is going to have the role, make the plays, score the points in a fantasy weekend. And then every once in a while, there will be some plays that come out of the blue. And Kenyon Drake goes from not participating really all the past couple of weeks to scoring a couple of touchdowns in this new Las Vegas Raiders offense. The other game that came a little bit out of nowhere, we had some carries for Ramondre Stevenson the previous week, but in this one, the total opportunities were way down, but Colin, it was exciting to see him get the goal line carry, execute that after Damian Harris had been stopped. He had some targets, including some downfield targets, where he showed this size agility combination that makes him so intriguing as a potential future three down back for the Patriots. Now, Harris has been pretty good, right? I don't think that he's going to be at a level where he gets completely pushed aside, but especially with James White out, Stevenson does get pretty interesting now going forward. So we have some backfields that are in flux. I think the Seahawks backfield is going to be one of those that gives all of the running back managers trouble, whether you had Chris Carson and now it's very frustrating because you're not getting the early round value. If you had Penny or even Alex Collins as your zero RB fill-in and thought you were going to get some points there. And Collins came through for a couple of weeks and did what we needed him to do when we had him in the lineup. So that was good to see. It's, you know, too bad that he's injured. If that did have to happen, you know, it probably saves some people going forward because this next week it would be a tricky decision if you're going to have both Penny and Collins healthy together. You know, how does that play out? You might get into a little bit of trouble there, but it does look like it's just trouble going forward, right? I mean, we're going to try and pick up Penny, but you're going to try not to start him because this could be a Travis Homer game.
Yeah, in for a penny, in for a pound is an old saying, but I feel like we've been in for Penny a number of times. What harms one more, Sean? Let's do it again. But we are so much, like I mentioned at the start of the show, to talk about based on the weekend. Lots of the players we like had very nice weeks, but a lot of those players we will spread throughout the week. We'll talk about the likes of, you know, CeeDee Lamb. I keep, you know, Sean mentioned Henry Ruggs a lot in the offseason. Ruggs, another nice game here. But I think, you know, some of the players that we talked a huge amount this offseason about, and one of them we actually talked, it might have been after week two, Sean, was Mike Gesicki. We talked about the over-unders of, like, was he just going to completely not work out this year? You know, Hawkinson's in there, and Mark Andrews is a couple of nice back-to-back weeks in there. Kelsey, while, you know, quiet for Kelsey standards, still 8 receptions, 99 yards coming from him. But I mentioned to you before the show, and we had a couple of teams as well, including our main event team, which is now in first place on record and points in the over at the FFPC, which is tight end premium. We did roll with a Fant, Gesicki double and a few of those, and I actually had 3 lineups this week with that pairing in it, so that worked out very, very well. You know, Fant having 9 catches, 97 yards, and caught that late touchdown, and then Gesicki 8 for 115 in the game over in London. So very, very impressive overall from the two of those. And when you're playing tight end premium, it's going to help you a lot if you can get your tight ends having that sort of production and gaining those targets, 20 targets between both guys.
This was really exciting, Colin, because like you mentioned, we've got these guys in a lot of places. The Chasing Stolen Bananas team that I was fortunate enough to be able to draft with Pat and Pete and Ben on Ship Chasing is now back into first place in terms of total points. Our record doesn't have us there record-wise, but obviously the points is the other big deal. And, you know, Gesicki got a 0 in week 1. And it looked like this is going to be a strong team, but maybe tight end is the weakness. You know, how do we cover that up? Fortunately, in the interim, we've been able to add Dawson Knox, so that gives us a little bit of backup, although Knox now has picked up an injury in the Monday night game. But to have this sort of transition from week 1 to where he is now, Mike Gesicki really emerging and kind of papering over the absence of Saquon Barkley on that Chasing Stolen Bananas team. So it's exciting to see him do that. He's one of the guys that we thought would take a step forward. In many ways, a big receiver, but the agility that he has and the ball skills that he has, you know, sometimes even for the good tight ends, they look a little bit uncomfortable catching the ball. That is not the case for Mike Gesicki. He does that very smoothly, heads up field. This in a game here where Devontae Parker was out, and it was a lot of fun for these teams. And that team was one. Ben and I have some others based on, you know, always being in this back half where we have a lot of Jalen Waddle. Those two guys, huge games with the lack of other targets to take some balls away there. But the other guy, and Colin, this was sort of our guy from the very beginning of the offseason. And for a while, it got to almost feel a little touch and go, right? Because we also like Jerry Jeudy. We also like KJ Hamler. I'm trying to pretend that Hamler doesn't exist so we don't have to think about the sadness of not having him.
I thought you were going to say trying to pretend that Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback of this offense.
Yeah, I mean, and this has been a great season, right? Our teams are doing extremely well. So this is very, very far away from the darkest timeline. But in the very brightest timeline, Aaron Rodgers would have moved to the Denver Broncos and KJ Hamler would have stayed healthy. He would be on his way to a young DeSean Jackson type of season. We can see the air yards that this offense puts up. Cortland Sutton just really breaking the air yards calculators every week with the massive totals that he has there. If you have Jerry Jeudy, you're really just on the edge of your seat waiting for him to come back because, you know, it's not something where you say, oh, well, Sutton's doing this, you know, Jerry's better. He's going to go out there and do more. I mean, the takeaway is that Cortland Sutton is back. And he's recovered from the injury. He's very, very good. If anything, you know, maybe there should be concern. Well, you know, Jeudy won't get the volume now that he might have been able to get if he had been healthy right from the jump. But I guess I'm mildly encouraged about how well Bridgewater has played. But wrap this back around to Noah Fant, and he looks fantastic, right? One of the things that I felt last year was even when he was generating that volume, you compare him to Albert O, and he just doesn't look as fluid. You could see a situation in which if the wide receivers were really good, he would be phased out a little bit. Not, you know, not go to zero, but if you're going to spend a tight end pick in that range, the tight end has to perform. One of the things that we see all the time is the tight ends going in that range where Fant was going have actually not returned very well at all, right? Those tend to be the guys that are reached for, and then they fit in the same group. They go back to the pack. And you know, if you're in the pack, it would have made a lot more sense just to have the Gesicki or to have the guy who's drafted in round 12, round 13, scores about the same number of points, and you still have the early draft pick. So, I mean, Fant needs to not just be decent, he needs to be good. And to have him play this game where he was wide open throughout, and so I think you have to give him a lot of credit for that. He gets the garbage time touchdown. I think there's always the temptation when guys really finish off their week that way to think, okay, well, this could have gone a little bit differently, and then you don't have the game. I want to be aware of when the guy scored, and certainly, you know, probably if we could just have, you know, seven or eight guys as our theme music people, DeAndre Swift would have moved into that group. He's scoring a ton of points. He has the high EP points. He looks like a great receiver. He's doing exactly what we talked about him doing. So that's been exciting. It's nerve-wracking that so much of it has come in the last 3 or 4 minutes of games. Because if those last 3 or 4 minutes go in a different way, then you're taking a ton of points off the table. This wasn't the case for Fant, right? He's wide open throughout this game. His targets were peppered all throughout the game. He actually had a beautiful almost catch of a touchdown earlier in the game. I believe I was watching it through the shortcuts, but I believe the Broncos actually even challenged the play.
His toenail was out of play. His toenail hit the back of the end zone.
Yeah. So, I mean, it could have been a bigger game. I think that, and maybe the target was assigned to someone else, but I think that his other non-catch, he was 11 targets, 9 receptions. I think that his other failed reception was also in the end zone. And so you think about kind of how big that game could have been. You look at the peripherals there. You look at Cortland Sutton and how he's able to draw the coverage off of Fant and create a lot of room to work with underneath. Even with Teddy Bridgewater not being a star, and even with, you know, some of this production coming late in the game, I mean, this still is a game where they got blown out by the Raiders, which I think from a reality perspective is not a good result when you think of all the turmoil the Raiders were dealing with. But both of these teams still, you know, 4-2, 3-3, they played reasonably difficult schedules in terms of the Raiders. We know that the Broncos beat the bad teams. They've lost to the good teams. But this is probably a matchup between two teams that are a little bit better than the perception might suggest. And so really love what Fant is doing there. And as you mentioned, we had the duo in some of our lineups. We had to put Gesicki in early to make sure we didn't lose out on flex players with inactives later in the day. And so much of the time when you have the game staggered all throughout the weekend, you can lose some options because you have to play it safe. In this game, the way the games were staggered, it really helped us.
Yeah, it really did work out. You mentioned Swift as well. If it was a case that, you know, it was a, if you're in any leagues that only count points from the last, you know, 6 minutes of the game, I think he could possibly be the 101 that. But you mentioned Fant. I think the scenario of how this game played out with them being behind may actually help him in the long run if they are behind in games. There was, you know, a couple of the games in those opening weeks where they played teams, you know, that are now knowing the records are very poor teams, and it wasn't overly needed to force up those targets. So I think if they're behind, it might actually increase his targets. The other thing we haven't really seen from him yet is that kind of explosive play with yards after the catch. And if we can sneak a couple of those in over the next 2 months, I think Fant will be going into that tier that you mentioned. He felt in the draft season like he was in that group of three or four in the tier below Hockenson. It feels now like he's starting to climb up, but it also feels like Hockenson's probably climbing close to that top tier as well. But a lot of the drafts that I would have done in best ball or in season long as well, I talked about trying to get the likes of Waller or Hockenson and then trying to pair that up with Gesicki or Fant, you know, and specifically in tight end premium. But this was a week where that tended to work out pretty well. But that's going to take us to the end of today's show. We will be back on Thursday and Saturday as well with the three shows a week as we have been doing. We may have a bonus show for you on Sunday. Again, we've said about the bonus Q&A, so thanks to everyone who sent in questions. We will be getting to that either this week or next week, but likely to post either this Sunday or the following Sunday, just based on scheduling. Of course, check out all of Sean's work as well up on rotoviz.com, and of course, the Stadium Bananas podcast with Ben Gretsch. The Sunday show is must listen to. What I say Sunday show, it's Monday morning, early Monday morning, recorded on Sunday night from the guys, and then posted up Monday morning to talk through some of the instant reaction things from that week. Of course, if you want to get yourself a listeners-only discount to a RotoViz NFL pass, you can add the code RVRadio2021 at checkout or go to rotoviz.com/podcast for more information. That gets you access to all of the content and tools up on the website. I would highly recommend doing that. Drop us a written review on your favorite podcast app. And, you know, if you're listening to 300 episodes so far and you haven't dropped one, please take 5 minutes to drop one. We would greatly appreciate it. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. And as always, Sean Siegel is the co-host here on the podcast. Check out Sean's work, including some of the stuff we talked about on today's show, up on rotoviz.com. And until we're back on Thursday, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.